Okay, all right. So let me screen share. I assume you can hear me fine. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, all right. So these are the topics that we planned to talk about. So PDF and electroweak fits. This specific one has a very large overlap with a second group that's planning to write about PDF specifically. So we may just maybe cross-reference with that group and just have a small paragraph on this topic. However, the rest I think fairly fall into this electroweak and beyond the standard model category that we plan to put in. And based on the input that we got through the recent workshop that we had at CFNS, we sort of, and based on some of the papers that were written, we came up with this list. So charm tagging charge current, right W search via polarized charge current reactions, parity violation measurements, C3Q measurements, charge lepton flavor violation, heavy photons, Lorentz violating effects, and standard model effective field theory constraints. So beyond the standard model field theories, this is specifically something that Daniel talked to us about in a very nice talk. So I guess that was sort of my introduction. Claire, Yulia, did I miss anything?
No idea.
Oh, sorry. These are the topics which we discussed, but so my concern is just we have a lot of overlaps with the other subgroups, and we have to make sure that we are sort of not duplicating everything, or we have to provide like cross-link because the charge current, like electroweak fits, maybe they would come up in other sections, the same as the charm tagging.
Right. Yeah, sure. These first two topics I think we discussed on at the Friday meeting where Tim was also available, was also present. And we decided that we each write independently a draft, and specifically on the PDF and electroweak fits, since it probably falls more in their ballpark, we can limit ourselves just to say a couple of maybe a couple of sentences in general and reference to them, and then we can try to focus on the rest.
Yeah, so I think this is probably basically our responsibility, isn't it, to just coordinate and make sure that things tie together and there's not too much overlap. And so I think the only other thing I wanted to say, well, probably we're about to do this anyway, really, is kind of open the floor to opinions on these subtopics, but also just hear, especially from the people that are present and put their names on the Google Doc, whether these headings cover what your thoughts were, or whether there's some additional things that I'm thinking of Frank and Stefan, I think in particular, what your ideas were. Sorry if I've missed someone there. Sorry, I have to go back to the Google Doc to check. But yeah, I think we just want feedback really on these subheadings, don't we?
So, Sunny, would you like to go first since I saw your hand go up?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask about. There's a couple of other topics. One is leptophobic Z primes, and there's also like dark Z that can be tested at the EIC. So I think, along with like the heavy photons, you could add those other as other BSM possibilities. There's papers on this by other people from a few years back. And then about C3Q, my question is that the C3Q requires a positron beam, right? Is that considered to be part of the EIC or? You need both electron and positron beams to extract C3Q couples.
Right? I think we have to mention it, and we have to explicitly mention that those particular measurements would require the positron beam. This is not like excuse for the and exclude for the EIC. We are still planning to use and have the positron beam, so it will be a really good opportunity for us to reference it in the future.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would see. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Go ahead, Claire.
I was just thinking the way I would see this LOI is that we want to put forward some studies that we can do, and why not sort of show what the prospects are if we were to have that scenario. Similarly with the PDF and electro weak fits, to be honest, you can do a lot better with various things if you have both electrons and positrons. So I saw that as being part of it in terms of this is what you could do if you had this, you know.
And just to answer the question in the chat, the C3Q is the coefficients of the four fermion operators, which is a product of axial lepton and axial quark, axial vector lepton and quark currents. So there's like three types. There's the basically when you have a Z exchange between the electron and the quark current, there's the in the low energy limit, you get four fermion operators. There's the vector-vector, axial-vector, and then the axial-vector, axial-vector couplings. And so the C3Q is the axial-vector, axial-vector coupling.
So Sunny, do you have on this, how are the solid, is solid gonna be able to talk about the C3Qs at all?
It depends on whether they have a positron beam or not. So you need, the way you extract the C3Q is you look at you construct an asymmetry using a electron beam and a positron beam. So actually what's interesting about C3Q is that it has been only, to my knowledge, only been measured once in the 80s using muon and anti-muon beams on a carbon target with huge error bars. So it's really not known well at all. So it's never been measured in any other context. So if a positron beam can be made part of the thing, then we would be able to constrain that, you know, for the first time, using positron and electron beams.
All right, thank you. So I guess what I've written down is that we will sort of expand this heavy photon section to include leptophobic Zs and dark Zs. And I think I have a good reference for that. I think Paul Sauter wrote a review article some ways back. At least we'll have reference to the original papers there. Thank you, Sunny. Did you want to add anything else?
No, that was it.
Okay, thank you. All right, Frank?
Hi, so I'm just speaking about the section that you've entitled SMEF constraints right now. I think that pretty accurately represents what myself, Raja, and Daniel want to contribute. In particular, we want to talk about the complementarity between future EIC measurements and what's going on at the LHC. So just to kind of answer the question, yes, that does represent what we wanted to do. I'd also like to make one comment regarding the organization of this white paper and LOI and then ask a question. So it looks like the BSM studies fall into two generically kind of broad categories. One is model independent searches, and I would label the SMEF section and C3Q in that category, and then more model specific ones such as the heavy photon and the lepton flavor violation. So just when the kind of main people start to organize this, I'd encourage them to structure it that way. And then a question, how exactly do you envision the scope of this? Do you want just reviews of topics? Would you be interested in kind of small extensions and new research of what's going on? What have you thought about that aspect of it yet?
So maybe I can just quickly change here. So what I'm sharing now is sort of a draft that is for another section that Claire, a draft LOI that Claire pointed out to us. And I'm sort of, I think what's instructive is that you basically see that we only have a 2-page limit to include all of these sections. And each individual section will just basically have a small, either we'll have a small blurb or sort of like a mini abstract. And then at the end, we can just put references if there's publications or talks about it. So the idea, as far as I understood it, is that these will sort of form the basis of what this group of people is interesting in pursuing. And if there's papers, great. But even if that there are studies that you think will be good to have maybe in within half a year or about half a year or so, 3 months to half a year, those would be good to include here so that the Snowmass conveners can sort of track, and eventually we can form a white paper out of it. And I think Swagato was planning to have, at least for the EIC, try to bring everyone together and have some sort of workshop early in January where everyone could sort of show their results before we actually write sort of the sort of white paper or whatever is going to come out of this. So that's sort of my understanding of the organization. Claire, Yulia, please add whatever I missed.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, Frank, what just to ask you, what did you have something in mind? Because I think if there are very clear ideas for specific studies that have not been done yet, but could be done on this timescale that's just been mentioned, you know, sort of that you are thinking of actually specifically doing, then that would be good for us to know in order to try and formulate this document, which, by the way, we would then sort of circulate to you all to correct us or sort of modify. But if you've got specific things that you think we should say, that would be extremely helpful for you to tell us.
No, I think that you kind of, my question was answered very well. Things, at least that we were talking about among ourselves, is just small extensions of the studies we've already done that look at, for example, complementarity with other experiments, not just EIC, but low energy experiments. So I think it would fit very neatly as kind of an additional sentence in that one paragraph blurb that you need for your LOI. Mm-hmm. And then it can be fleshed out in time for the workshop you referred to and the white paper. So I think that's perfect. What I understand is exactly what we had in mind.
Okay. Can I just make a quick comment on this, just as a follow-up? So I'm Raja Bugazal, by the way, sorry. Principle, if people want to have a new result, there are two different categories to submit things to. So the white paper is supposed to be just kind of review of what people have done in the past. But if there is something new that they want to present, there is something else for it, which is called technical articles. So people can submit this new result to something separate. And then if you want to include it in the white paper referencing this new work, you can do that. So just to clarify things for people, sorry, I'm a convener for one of the topical groups, and this is a clear dividing thing that we have presented for our people, just so they know. We have white paper for reviews and technical reports for something new.
Yeah, that's really helpful. So thanks.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Yeah. Okay, Stefan?
Also just wanted to sort of say why, kind of, for instance, I'm here. Also, sorry for signing up late, only on Friday, I think. So I think I'd also be quite interested in kind of dark photons, dark Z, leptophilic Z, leptophobic Z, and so on. And I'm coming a bit more from this kind of the simulation side of things. So and one thing that I think is could be that I was thinking when I saw this was indeed a bit of the kind of potential of the EIC for heavy photon dark Z searches juxtaposed with things like beamed up experiments and say things like missing momentum experiments like LDMX and so on. So that's where I was coming from. And I thought that could be something small that we could add, like, so like, I don't know, the something like missing energy and so on in order to understand how competitive the LEC would, the EIC would be relative to say LDMX or BDX and so on, which I think should be, there should be quite some potential there. That was kind of my thought. That's why I thought this was an interesting group.
Thank you. All right. Any comments on that?
I should also say, of course, that I know if things evolve differently, then I'm happy to take a backseat anyway. So if anyone's interested, then we can do. But we're a relatively small group, so if you want to pull along all on the kind of the same rope, then we can narrow down the topics a bit as well, if need be.
So on this specific thing, so I think Ross, who's online here, has done some initial studies for us, and he presented at the Electro Week workshop, and it may be good for us to, or for you to discuss and figure out what's the best way to compare the results he has to some of these beam dump experiments or missing energy experiments. And if maybe there's the potential to do something similar or pursue some studies of using a similar technique at the EIC. Ross, do you want to comment on that?
So yeah, I haven't explored missing energy as a avenue, so that would be very interesting.
All right, so it seems like then we can just coordinate and see. The timeline is more or less until next week, right?
Yes, I think for these, we have a fairly short timeline. And part of the meeting was that, I guess I was going to bring it up at the end, was also to ask, since you are the experts in a lot of these, if you could provide like a one paragraph blurb for us, we can try to integrate into a coherent story at the end. So that would be helpful. So for example, if you and Ross could talk amongst yourselves about what would be something that, you know, on a 3-month timescale or so you could pursue, we can add a line in there saying that studies will, comparing to current state of the art measurements like BDX or other experiments will also be pursued or something like that. Okay.
Yeah, sounds reasonable.
Thank you. Thank you, Stefan. All right. Sunny, you had a different comment?
I did. I just realized, because when I was staring at the C3Q, I mean, we should, of course, include the C2Q, because that is the thing that will definitely be measured at the EIC. And it can probably do better than, say, for example, solid. Solid is also going to make a measurement on that. So I think there's now one measurement from the 6GEVJ lab on C2Q, and the EIC will definitely be able to improve upon that. And in principle, it can also measure C1Q, but it'll probably not be able to compete with the atomic parity violation experiments. But C2Q is something that will definitely be done at the EIC, and the C3Q depends on whether or not there is a positron beam.
Yep. All right. Thanks a lot. It's a good point. All right. Frank, you had an additional comment?
Just a real quick follow-up, and this is maybe I could have done this offline with Sunny. But Sunny, you, me, Raj, and Daniel should kind of discuss a little bit. I think some of the things that we're doing in the standard model effective field theory section are quite similar to your work on C3Q, C2Q, et cetera. So we should probably kind of offline how to coordinate this a little bit, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. Yeah. I think actually one of the big questions is that hasn't been studied much is, you know, how this compares with some of the LHC limits. The LHC limits, of course, blow everything out of the water. But it's there's room for, like, you know, that you're measuring specific chiral structures, whereas at the LHC you're measuring some combinations. So all that can be maybe articulated better with some of the work you guys are doing.
Yeah, I think exactly. So this is what we were finding. So we should kind of chat about this.
Okay, sounds good.
So Daniel had a question in the comments here. So this, and he was wondering what the scope of the paragraphs are. So I believe, and then maybe Roger could actually give us a little bit, can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's these paragraphs in the LOI are both a review of the current state and potentially, if there's plans, to also give an indication of studies that will be sort of performed in the next 6 months.
Yeah, that's correct. You're correct. Yeah, it can be like that.
Okay, yeah. then that cleared it up for me. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
And all in 2 pages, of course. So it's a tricky thing to do. But yeah.
Yeah, it's like, this is a lot for like a 3-sentence paragraph.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I should mention that the 2 pages limit is not really a hard limit. It could go a little beyond 2 pages if need be.
That's right. It was mentioned at the meeting on Friday as well.
Does it also include the figures? I missed the Friday meetings and I don't know if then.
So what I was told about that is that we could in principle include figures if we feel like. However, the idea at least for the LOIs was to have these paragraphs, blurbs, like seen as mini abstracts. But no one is forbidding us from including figures. And I think at that point, if we feel that the point is made better with figures, that equally to the references probably won't count towards the page limit. At least that's what I understood from Friday. Okay. Oh, Sunny?
Oh, sorry, I forgot to lower my hand. I didn't have anything to say yet.
All right. So any other comments or suggestions?
So how are we going to split? Should we assign specific names for each section? Who will write those abstracts and set a deadline?
So how do people feel? Do you think you can, at least for the parts that you can speak to, would be great. It would be a huge help, and it would certainly help us through the. You wouldn't have to go back and forth.
Yeah, and so that we not really duplicate the effort, and you know that would help too.
I mean, there is a possibility of using Overleaf, which would allow to everybody to see what's going on in the other paragraphs and at the same time edit their own paragraph. I mean, it would be tech file, people can see what's going on, compile and see what the other paragraphs look like. That's a possibility, for example.
Yep. So Yulia already set up an Overleaf, and that's where the thing popped up here. So maybe I'll work on it a little bit and I'll send everyone the link that was invited to this meeting. And if you have time specifically, I would like to request that you try to put this in by Wednesday so that since our, again, not hard deadline for Friday, but it would be good to put it in by then since personally, I'm gonna be away for a couple of days after that. Sunny?
Sorry, I just wanted to add one more thing, mm-hmm. which is related to the CQ couplings, but mm-hmm. it can be stated in a different way, is that the other thing the EIC would do is it would test the running of sine squared theta W, below the Z pole. So at tree level, all these CQ couplings are related to sine squared theta W. But because the EIC has a wide kinematic range and Q squared and stuff like that, so essentially by measuring these CQ couplings, you're extracting sine squared theta W values, and you can do that for a range of different Q squareds because of the wide kinematic range, and so that allows you to test the running of the sine squared theta W. So that, I think that can be a separate bullet point in some ways, that you're testing the running of the weak mixing angle.
So I was thinking about that directly. One thing I wanted to ask you, is there a, the test of the sine squared theta W and a lot of these low Q squared measurements are done at low Q squared specifically because there is a larger phase space where potential beyond the standard model physics can come in, as far as I understand it. So is there any indication from beyond the standard models that at this intermediate Q squared right below the Z pole where the EIC would be making these sine squared theta W extractions, you would have you could have deviations?
Yeah, so I think the dark Z is one example, like of a light degree of freedom. And so I think there's a paper by Marciano and I'm blanking on the names, very famous person at BNL, Human. They wrote a paper on this, and, right. and they actually have a plot of how the sine squared theta W running is affected in the presence of a dark Z.
Okay,
so typically the new physics is very heavy, and so that information, that matching information, kind of is beyond is above the Z pole, and so but the dark Z is an example of a light degree of freedom that can change things below the Z pole.
All right, thank you. I'll double check the plot. I think if I remember correctly, the deviation was most visible around 10 to the minus 1 in Q GV. Okay, thanks. I'll double check. Any other comments? Okay, so I guess what we've agreed on is that we will work a little bit on the document and on the overleaf document, and we'll share it with everyone. And if possible, we'd like to ask you to try and put in a paragraph on things that you feel confident about, and then Yulia, Claire, and I will sort of work that into a coherent story. And then hopefully by Thursday or Friday, we can send it off to you for a quick review, make sure we haven't made any gross mistakes, and then we'll submit that. Does that sound okay? Yulia, Claire?
Yes,
yeah, to me. Yeah, does it sound okay to others? I'm not sure whether we had something. Okay, great. Thank you for the thumbs up from a few people, because it'd be very, very helpful to us. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. Okay. So I guess if no other comments or suggestions, then I guess we're done. All right. Thanks. Thanks very much, everyone. I will post the video to the Indigo page, and I will send everyone a link to it once I send the overleaf link later this afternoon.
Thank you.
All right.